Off in the distance, it approaches Big News Wednesday. Oh my God. Okay, so it's Big News Wednesday, which is the good news. Jer Jackson is here. That's also good news. Thank you for being here, Jer Jackson.
What's going on? That was a quick cutback. I was just checking my phone. I was like,
it was. You got caught. Also, while the Big News Wednesday intro is going on, Sophie, the producer on a Skype call, was dabbing. And that reminded me, I'm doing a rewatch of Top Chef, and there's like a 2015 episode where they have Logan Paul as part of one of the challenges.
Was he dabbing? Is that why this come up? Because
yeah, every 3 seconds. Oh. He's hanging out with Padma. He's eating the food. Where's the food for me? Anyway.
John's like, I'll dab if you let me on the show.
I would. I wouldn't. I'll my even heart do wouldn't the, be into it, but
what's it called? The flosser.
I'll do a casual one arm floss. Anyway, okay. Well, we're glad to have you here, and I will extend it to the audience. Thank you for being here, because we got a lot to talk about through the course of today's Big News Wednesday. We're gonna be diving into Donald Trump's plot to become president, not in 2024, but sooner. We're gonna be diving into that, as well as some of the investigators closing in on members of his coup from the last election. We've got updates on marriage equality and reproductive rights, and Dr. Oz is looking like a fool. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, including a little bit of fun. I'm gonna have kind of good things to say about Pete Buttigieg at some point. So
John,
that should be not like, let's not go crazy, okay? But you know, credit when credit is very briefly due. So we'll have that coming up for you in a little bit. In advance of that, though, if you're on a platform that allows for things like liking a stream, it would be great for you to do that now. Initiate the liking procedure. And then if you want to send us any comments, tweets, super chats, and all that as we go, JR and I will respond during our social breaks. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to talk about some news?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to fight about Pete Buttigieg, but we'll get to that.
Okay, no. First, we got to get to the serious stuff. Then we get to have fun with Pete. Or something.
I totally understand.
Anyway, I'm perfectly happy to have fun with Pete now and not during the next election. Don't run, Pete. God damn it. Anyway, okay, so with that, let's jump into the news. Donald Trump has a plot to become president, and he's not waiting around for 2024. Dude thinks he can be president like nowish. Take a look at this. Robin Voss, Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, said in an interview just yesterday that the former president called him last week and encouraged him to decertify Joe Biden's win in the state. Now, I want to be very clear. You might think, oh, did I accidentally click on like an old video again? No, it's today. It's the present. It's now. Europe is on fire. That also might be true in the future. I don't know. It was 20 months ago that Donald Trump lost the state of Wisconsin. 20 months. And Trump wants that to be decertified now. Why does he want that? We're gonna be delving into some truly addled minds here, but there are people, and Trump is one of them, former president of the United States, who thinks that if they decertify a few states in the last election, then he can become president now. Not in 2024, not just like a technical thing. No, the plot is to get him back in the White House. Now, is that utter bananas? Yup, it's overripe. There's black spots on that plan. It doesn't make any sense. But they are working on it. Now, in this case, Robin Voss, Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, was like, I can't do that. But he said, it's very consistent. He makes his case, which I respect. He would like us to do something different in Wisconsin. I explained that it's not allowed under the Constitution. He has a different opinion. No, but okay, Robin Voss, you're technically, I guess, doing the right thing in that you're not taking part in this. Although, again, like with Mike Pence, you can't. So I'm not gonna give you too much credit, but like, no, but Robin, Robbie, can I call you Robbie? Rob, we'll go with Rob. Do you think he has a different opinion about the Constitution? Do you think that's what's really going on? Do you think that Donald Trump has pored over old dusty scrolls? He found the Declaration of Independence, you know, out of national whatever treasure, and he has just crunched all the numbers, and I think it's legal. Do you think that's what's happening, or do you think he doesn't give a damn? He's just doing whatever he thinks can be the background like decorations of another attempt to become president, damn the Constitution. Do you really think that? And look, he's being super nice to Donald Trump. And so what do you think that Donald Trump is gonna do to him? It's gonna shred him. And we'll have that for you in just a moment. But JR, what do you think about the most recent attempt to have a reboot of the Trump presidency?
I want you to imagine. So of course, this guy, Robin Voss, Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, has exposed this, pointed out that Donald Trump asked him to overturn this yesterday. So in doing that, do you think if this was anyone else, if Joe Biden had lost and he was still ranting, raving about the election being stolen from him for 2 years, then if he reached out to certain folks, this particular person here, and said, hey, I need you to flip it for me, do you think he would then explain this as, I told him that it wasn't allowed in the Constitution, but he has a different opinion? Or would he say, this anti-American a-hole who hates the Constitution and hates every American in the country keeps coming to me with these illegal schemes? Do you think he would say it with a negative tone, or do you think he would say it very calmly and making it seem like it's not a big deal the way he did with Donald Trump here? It's crazy how even the Republicans who are upset about the approach that Donald Trump has as far as this, and also say that he's destroying the party and he keeps derailing their actual policies or the approach they want to take when it comes to the election to talk about 2020, they don't say with any kind of excitement, anger, opposition. They just say the words and kind of move on and hope that he doesn't pick up on it. But sadly, as you're going to point out, he picked up on it, no matter how milquetoast it was.
100%. They've never responded to some whatever nonsense Hunter Biden had gotten up to by saying, he has a different opinion on things. No. And by the way, you're not allowed to have a substantive opinion on the Constitution if you haven't read the Constitution. And I'm not even expecting he'll have read the entire Constitution. I've never sat down and read the entire Constitution in one go. But I would bet every cent I have, every cent I will ever have, that he has not read 75 words in a row. I'll give him a sentence, maybe. Maybe at one point he accidentally read a sentence for a photo op. He has never read for 40 seconds in a row of the Constitution. And I don't care how conservative you are, you know that it's true. So here is what he has had to say about Voss. Now, what I'm about to read you, this is in advance of what Voss just revealed to us, okay? He said, looks like Speaker Robin Voss, a longtime professional rhino, always looking to guard his flank. Love flank steak. He'll be doing nothing about the amazing Wisconsin Supreme Court decision. The Democrats would like to sincerely thank Robin and all of his fellow rhinos for letting them get away with murder.
So, Mark, like that Biden is president and has been president for 2 years now at this point. Okay, that was before. Then Robin Voss comes out and says, no, the dude like a couple days ago tried to get me to overturn the election. Not in January 6th, like right now. Like after Stranger Things had concluded, he wanted to overturn the election. It's madness. So he sends out this message.
So what's Speaker Robin Voss doing on the great Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling declaring hundreds of thousands of Dropbox votes to be illegal? This is not a time for him to hide, but a time to act. I don't know his opponent in the upcoming primary, but feel certain he will do well if Speaker Voss doesn't move with gusto. Robin, don't let the voters of Wisconsin down.
Again, I cannot stress this enough. Robin Voss can't overturn the 2020 election. That's not how that works. Even if he could overturn Wisconsin, which definitively he cannot, that would not result in Donald Trump having the electoral votes, let alone the reality of becoming president. That's not true. But he's saying there, JR, I don't know who the opponent is because he literally hasn't looked into this for even a few seconds, but he's gonna support the primary opponent. And also, this is not a time for him to hide, but a time to act. What are you talking about him hiding? Well, I don't even understand what that's. First of all, he's doing interviews about this. You're responding to an interview he did on TV about your call. Just invoking the concept of a politician being forced to hide feels to me like an implicit threat. Maybe I'm going too far.
Oh, I didn't even think about it that way. The first thought I had was that, you know, he's making up these scenarios of him hiding. But he's talking about him being out there, of course. But it has to be this characterization of him being this, it's sneaky. You know, he says one thing, then he jumps behind you in the dark and he's over there stabbing me in the back. And again, his understanding of how government works is strictly based on whoever I talk to does what I say, and then that's just the law. It really doesn't go past that. It's whatever I say is the law. And whoever I say to get to that point also has to do it, or else he's not working for the United States of America. He's actually in opposition to the country. That's his thought process. And you talked about him reading for longer than 40 seconds. He doesn't have to read, because if he read something, something else might come into his brain and it'd have a battle with his insular thoughts. So Donald Trump is as we talked about before, his endorsement process is based off of whether or not someone is going to support his 2020 election fraud scheme thing. Mm-hmm. That's it. If you're on board with that, he's good. That's why he mentioned the primary battle. And he's trying to toss that around. That's the threat I see. He's like, oh yeah, you know, by the way, I'm going to back up his primary opponent. I don't know who it is. It doesn't matter, because as long as they believe what I say, nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. But somehow people who support him don't care that nothing else matters. Weird how that works.
Yeah. By the way, like, lest you come away from this conversation thinking, oh, thank God, you know, that we have people like Robbie Voss. That's what I call him. I can do that because I know him. Robbie Voss is there to stop this from happening. Responsible people who respect democracy. Hold up there, buddy. Voss himself has peddled election conspiracy theories and baselessly claimed that voter fraud in his state influenced the 2020 election. No, he's not attacking Robbie Voss because Robbie is great on democracy. Great guy overall, fun to hang out with. But no, it's just that he won't overturn it. It's like with Mike Pence. He's not attacking them because they are his like devoted enemy. They just can't make magic happen. They can't overturn the results of the election like they can't snap their fingers and be standing on Saturn. Both of those things are impossible, but not being able to do the impossible is enough for Trump to attack. Now that said, that's just one of these stories. So let's give you a little update. We all know that in Georgia, there is this investigation into Trump's attempt to overturn the election. That's trying to narrow in on his attempt to have votes magically appear, to put forward these alternate electors. All this is utter nonsense, unconstitutional, but they did it. Well, now prosecutors in Atlanta have informed 16 different Trump supporters who were part of this alternate slate of electors, which again doesn't exist, it's not a thing, that they could face charges. They are now a target, an active target of this investigation, and could be facing charges. And in fact, two of those individuals have already been identified. These are not random nobodies, they're just random. David Schaefer is the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, literally the chairman of the party in that state. State Senator Burt Jones is a candidate for lieutenant governor. So head of the Republicans in the state, dude who wants to like be second in command to lead the entire state, could face charges for the fact that they tried to be these, like, I don't even know what you're supposed to call it, like fake made up supposed saboteur electors that would be used as a meaningless part of what was going to be an extrajudicial attempt to overturn American democracy. And the fact that they might be facing charges, that is pretty significant. Norman Eisen served as a special counsel to the House Judiciary Committee during the first impeachment attempt against Trump, or I should say the first impeachment, he got impeached. Says this is a sign of a dramatic acceleration of her work, talking about the woman who's heading up this investigation, saying that prosecutors typically work their way up the food chain. So usually the first wave of target letters is not the last. So these would be the first, the actual electors. But the electors didn't act on their own. They didn't come up with this scheme. So who is in the tier above that? And who is in the tier above that? And this is just one part of, as I alluded to in the intro, a larger investigation to what happened in that state. They're looking into the creation of that slate of electors, as well as the phone call that happened between Lindsey Graham and Raffensperger there. They're trying to get testimony from a number of Trump lawyers and allies. Rudy Giuliani is one of those, Lindsey Graham too. By the way, Lindsey Graham had been subpoenaed to talk about this, then said he wouldn't. Now his lawyers have agreed to have their objections heard in a court in Georgia instead of South Carolina or Washington. I can't say what effect that's going to have necessarily on the outcome there, but they're getting all of the people at the bottom, but they are also talking to those people higher up who are basically just one tier below Donald Trump in this scheme.
So we've got Donald Trump desperately trying to push some new narrative, or I guess someone else to do something as far as this election. Now, you mentioned those 16 folks. Have you seen his letter come out? Have you seen his statement on Truth Social? Have you seen his dumb ass letterhead where he's writing about, I can't believe the prosecutors are coming after 16 radicalized criminals that I radicalized to fight for this nonsense approach to trying to get me back in office. He's panicking over what we're seeing continue to unfold from the January 6th hearings. And so now the next desperation step and the next desperation step. And he keeps talking about loyalty and he's not doing what's right for the country. Keep noticing, conservatives, every time you put your neck out there for Donald Trump, and then you find yourself under investigation, you find yourself being arrested, and you find yourself in jail, guess where Donald Trump is? He's still sitting up in his house, he's still tweeting, he's still truthing, and he's still putting out statements like this that have nothing to do with your ass. You are a useful idiot from another idiot's perspective. Imagine how low on the chain you are now. Are you happy with yourself? Do you feel fulfilled? Are you a patriot? Or are you just a dummy?
Yeah, 100%. And it's, yeah, you got to take your pleasure in American politics where you can get it. I love how actively Trump ignores the people who give him everything. Like let's say like I did something illegal and people helped me out or whatever.
Never that,
okay,
John.
Like maybe I would have an onus to help them, but I don't necessarily have the means to easily do so. Trump could pay off the legal bills of all these people and it would have no effect whatsoever on his life. It wouldn't affect literally anything. But he still chooses not to do it. And I respect that. As someone who despises those people as much as Trump does, I respect that he's leaving them out in the cold there. It's just it's hilarious how little he values loyalty. The only thing he wants, he doesn't value. It's really something. Mm. So anyway, we'll have to see, you know, the investigation continues. People are getting enthused about it, like some legal observers. You know how I generally feel about these things. It ain't over till it's over. So we'll see. I also want to let you know, by the way, sort of tied in with this. Over the last few days, we've been tracking the story of the Secret Service text messages that just vanished. It's so weird. What were they being stored on a body camera? I guess the device failed. Anyway, great reporting there by Ken Klippenstein and The Intercept. Well, yesterday was the day for the Secret Service to finally give those text messages that they supposedly couldn't find. Oh, they did comply, sort of. They turned over one text message. Now, a text message is a digital thing, but if a text message could be a finger, I think I know which one finger they turned over there. No, but think about it. The Secret Service sent one text that day. That is amazing. Anyway, they say they have vowed to conduct a forensic search for any other text or phone records, but they said such messages were likely to prove irrecoverable. Okay. So Sophie is guessing maybe the subpoena said turn over the text message, not the text messages. You got to be careful about your plurals, everybody, or American democracy could be on the chopping block.
Yo, so the thing is with the Secret Service, I think the one I heard, you didn't read this part, the text message one, not a text message exchange. Mm-hmm. A text. Who are they talking to? I've never had a text conversation with myself, but yeah. Apparently the one that they turned up said, no, I will not do that. That's horrifically illegal. And that's all they've got.
I want to be clear to any future congressional investigations that I am not on board. Winky face. Whoops, I meant to send that privately. Disregard the winky face.
No, Mr. President, I will not.
What? I want to know what the one text says.
We have the right to release that, right? That's true. I didn't even think about that. I do want to know. I was just making up random stuff. Yeah, I really want to know. That'd be great.
I'm hitting up Nando's for some chicken. You want some?
Like, yeah, I was going to say, it's something very so basic, like, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, other law-abiding public servants. Anyway, okay, well, yeah, it's fun to laugh about the fact that this incredibly important bureaucratic organization is refusing to comply with a federal investigation. That's wonderful. Anyway, with that, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to be jumping into the codification of marriage rights. You know, some of our favorite politicians getting arrested, a whole bunch of stuff. We'll be back after this. Let's see, I'm seeing the other side. Cenk would be furious if we took post game. It would just confuse people. If I talk about the post game, they'll think that I mean, you know, the other one.
Call it like the Watchlist 2.0 or something like that.
Let's see. Dragon On. Happy Half Hour. That's great. That would start a fight. Anyway, the Dragon's Den, Dragon Time. I like it.
Depressing half hour. I don't know.
Depressing. Hey, no, that's the first hour. The last half hour is less depressing.
Oh, it is. That's true.
It is. Well, we'll see. Today, yeah. Oh, it is. Okay, we're gonna have fun. We're talking about Pete Buttigieg. You know that's fun. Okay, we gotta get back in the news though. Let's jump into this.
We thought the Democrats were obsessed with President Trump, but Justice Thomas is a close second. This bill is simply the latest installment of the Democrats' campaign to delegitimize and attempt to intimidate the United States Supreme Court.
Oh my God, that's serious. Delegitimizing the Supreme Court. I have to assume that the House just voted to mandate protests outside of Morton's Steakhouse, or like follow Clarence Thomas around, throwing like bits of lettuce at him. It's really bad. They're hounding the Supreme Court. Oh wait, they just voted to codify the right to same-sex marriage. You know, the thing that's been legal for like literally years. It's just continuing that, so that if the Supreme Court decides that, oh, that's another fun right we'd like to take away, it wouldn't necessarily work. That's all, and yet that's all it takes for Jim Jordan to freak out. Well, Mena Raju says that the final vote was 267 to 157. So, hey, progress. Only 157 elected representatives think that millions and millions of Americans shouldn't have the rights that the rest do. So 47 Republicans voted for it, and all of the no votes were Republicans. So thank you, Henry Cuellar, for acting right for once. 47 Republicans voting for it is not nearly enough. It's 1 in 4, but that's more than I would have expected. GOP leadership was split. Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise were no votes. Elise Stefanik voted yes. Again, like we're just gonna pause for a second, because it is simultaneously progress and not nearly enough. It's been legal for years. There's been no negative, like, first of all, you know what should happen if same-sex marriage is legalized? And then there are some negative social repercussions of that. You know what should happen? It should stay legal because it's a goddamn right, okay? And I'm sure I could find negative consequences of straight people getting married. They're still allowed to do it, okay? But we don't even have that situation. They told us it would lead to the downfall of our society. And they were proven dead wrong because it was a really stupid thing to say in the first place. And even so, so many voted against it. It's people's right to do what? To do everything the Republicans say they want you to do. They want you to be in a committed relationship, blah, 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 own a home, picket fence, get a Weimaraner or something. Like that's what they supposedly want you to do. These are people who want to do it, and they do not want you to have the legal right to do it. It's amazing. Anyway, oh, we did a whole top 10 about the consequences of straight people marrying. Did we do that? Oh, the cons, I guess, yeah. Anyway, JR, they codified it, at least in the House. I guess it has no chance in the Senate. Why would it? But what do you make of this?
So I guess it's one of those things where you're gonna try and get people on record, because obviously everyone that's surrounding or dealing with this understands it's obviously not gonna make it through the Senate. And also that people like Jim Jordan will step up there and stick his stupid face in front of a camera and say something like this, because there's enough people that will listen to him say that and go, yeah, that's right. They're intimidating Supreme Court justices by legislating.
Yeah.
This is the same thing as whenever, and this happens from both Democrats and Republicans. They complain about how Congress doesn't move. Congress is the least liked body in all of the United States government. I can't believe Congress sucks so much. If you take a poll of regular Americans, 11% like Congress. Can you believe Congress sucks so much? Hi, I'm a member of Congress. Vote for me. I'm trying to get back in office. You're part of the problem, bro. So if you're upset about Congress passing, in this case, the House passing a law that's going to codify rights in the country that were also already given, and you're going to come forward and say it's intimidation, what should Congress do? What should your colleagues do, Jim? Hey, Jim, when you present a bill, which I don't know if you ever do that, is that intimidation towards anyone else you're putting it towards? Mm-hmm. Actually, sometimes it is. Whenever you're going after people's rights, it's intimidation to give people's rights in this country, and it's not intimidation to take them away. It's upside down world, and they've got enough people believing it so that no matter what they say, they just go, but I'm with Trump. and you're right back into the good graces. It doesn't have to make sense as long as you're still backing the racist guy. That's the basis for their political arguments now.
100%. Yeah. So, you know, minimal credit to the 47, especially considering that they voted for it, but they knew that it was going to pass anyway. So
courageous. 47 courageous people. Well, look out for Nancy Pelosi to call those 47 Republicans courageous and the kind of Republicans we need in office. At least Stefanik standing up for rights. That's what they're going to be talking about next.
Exactly. Yeah, she's conference. Great. Yeah. We're going to get to that in a sec. You know what the American public think about this? 71% say that they should be allowed to get married, same-sex couples. If we could go to that chart, you'll see how rapidly that has risen. It was at 27% back in 1996, and now it's at 71. The people that are not supportive of that, or they're going to be around for like 5-7 more years maximum. Also that poll's relevant, because if it was at 10%, it should still be legal. It has nothing to, like, whether you can get a majority to acknowledge that you should have rights should be irrelevant. They're rights. It's not supposed to be up to the masses, but the masses do agree that we should have this. But the Republican Party isn't going to waste an opportunity to stand firmly against something that basically all Americans support. And by the way, they'll pretend that this is unnecessary. Why are you doing this? Wait until they get back in power. Wait until they try to outlaw this, or try to get the Supreme Court to take it up and outlaw it. Majority support among Democrats and Republicans, by the way. Republicans are at 55%, despite being the entire community being used as a demonization for them for literally decades. Now that said, why don't we jump right into some of the most petty moments from the recent debate?
Defense of marriage. Proposed by somebody who had been married 3 times. We don't know which marriage he was defending. And today we will finally achieve that long held goal. By the way, I don't care how many times somebody's married. I care about how they try to impose their hypocrisy on others.
I was the entity on the other side of the aisle. I'd be more concerned when my own members accused it of having cocaine fueled orgies than worrying about the morality of my marriage. I yield back.
I forgot about the cocaine fuel.
Yeah, bring it back.
Nancy Pelosi had a good little line. It was almost a thing, and then she had to undercut it. Yes, no, we know that you're not mocking. You're just saying that they're hypocrites. You can point out hypocrisy without saying that you agree with that. The whole point of the hypocrisy is to point out that they don't have actual values. But anyway, yeah, they love Donald Trump. They love to pretend that they like this. Donald Trump said that he would be the most pro-LGBTQ president in history. And now he's doing stump speeches, just mocking the trans community. Like, they don't actually care about these people. They don't care about marriage. They don't even care about childbirth. They're trying to outlaw IVF now, JR. It's all just so fake.
Are we going to start finding folks who violate their marriages, I guess, you know, maybe don't take care of certain things in us, because there's plenty of marriages that don't really work out that well. Is there going to be illegal actions surrounding how you, since it's the sanctity of marriage and every marriage is so it's so precious to our people? All these fake people that actually feel like they care about these types of things don't really care. That's why you got this split, oddly, among that the Republican leadership when it comes to things like this. It's always, hey, let's find a way to look a certain way, even though we really, really don't care. And we're definitely not looking at what, as you pointed out, the numbers of people who actually believe the way things should be when it comes to marriage. This doesn't affect any of these folks. It affects them in getting elected. If you don't have a policy position on anything that Americans actually want, you have to generate something like this to say it's the real problems with our country. That's why when they're approached with some of these things, they go, why aren't you guys talking about the 4 other things that I wanted to talk about so that I can act like I care about those things too? And my last thought, when you're talking about Pelosi, that line about which marriage he's looking to protect or he's thinks is so great, that was definitely fed to her. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
She ain't come up with that.
I don't think she wrote it. So anyway, I don't want to just give you the petty stuff, though. I want to give credit to people who've delivered some important messages. So here's a bit from I believe this is Mondaire Jones.
I still remember where I was on June 24th, 2011, the day the New York State Legislature passed marriage equality. I was living with my friends in New York City, but I was still closeted. And I was so afraid still that someone might find out the truth about my being gay. Someone said I closed the door to my room and cried tears of joy by my lonesome. Finally, my home state of New York had recognized me as a full human being. affirmed all of those scary yet beautiful feelings that I had bottled up inside for decades, wondering, hoping one day that the world would change. Imagine telling the next generation Americans, my generation, that we no longer have the right to marry who we love. Congress can't allow that to happen. I'm proud to introduce, along with my colleagues, including Representative Nadler, the Respect for Marriage Act, which would codify the right to marriage equality under federal law. But we have to do more than that. We have to expand the Supreme Court of the United States to protect fundamental rights once and for all. I yield back.
I agree. As I've said many times, I believe that expanding the court is just one part of the reforms that should happen. I think there's a lot of other structural issues at the court beyond just the number of people on it. But I love his commentary. Like, it's, you know, he's coming at it with empathy. And he's not the only one. I don't think we have this graphic, but Representative Nancy Mace, who's a Republican, tweeted, if gay couples want to be as happily or miserably married as straight couples, more power to them. Trust me, I've tried it more than once. Crying, laughing face. And yes, she's apparently been married and divorced twice. Yeah, again, like it's all right. You get to get married if you want to. You get to have government acknowledgement of and the additional benefits that come from that acknowledgement, regardless of your orientation, your identity, and all of that. It should really be that simple.
Do you think Republicans knew that Nancy Mace, on a wide scale, maybe who don't know her personally, that she's been married twice and divorced? Do you think they know that?
They would only dislike it opportunistically. They don't give a damn about Trump.
No, they actually don't care about divorce. All of them been divorced, damn near all of them. So it has nothing to do with actual reality. And the reason I ask that is because her divorce, which is apparently, which should be, if we're talking about how great marriage is and how it has to be protected, if you break one, isn't that against God? And since God ordained this marriage, which is just a contract in a country or in a state, then why are we acting like God is weeping over you, over gay folks getting married? Is he weeping over you ending your straight marriage? Because that is the great one, right? That's the one we exalt, we hold on this pedestal. So if you end it, isn't that devastating? Isn't he hate you now? Aren't you going to hell?
JR, I need you to hold up, hold up. Because you don't think there's a lot of Republicans that want to outlaw divorce? There are a lot of them that would love to outlaw divorce. They'll find ways around it. Outlaw adultery, outlaw premarital sex. Like we talk about these inconsistencies. Bear in mind, some of it's just they're waiting to initiate some of this. You couldn't
then
get
of course
divorce
not
legally
follow it. Just
in a lot of
it.
America up until not that long ago.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very briefly, I want to make sure that we get to this. So let's prep for the C block. Yeah, Sophie, that's right. I'm going to do it right now. Okay, well, do we have a side thing? Well, that's what I said. Don't get me. Hey, the Skype is very aggressive today, okay? Anyway, multiple members of Congress were arrested just yesterday by Capitol Police while participating in a protest over the recent destruction of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court. Let's throw up some of the video and you'll get to see, you can see a little bit right there. But can we go full screen on that? You can see they're doing chants and they're organizing. It's a bunch of regular people as well as elected officials. Representatives Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Jackie Speier, Bonnie Watson Coleman, Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, Catherine Clark, Andy Levin, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Alma Adams, Veronica Escobar, Carolyn Maloney as well were all arrested. That's great. You know, I always want more, so I wonder why. Well, where are the rest? There's a lot of other good progressives at the very least. Why aren't they out there? But that's good. It's good. I want to see them being willing to do this. You know, and I know that it's not like they're risking much necessarily. They'll get a ticket. They'll have to pay off a little bit of money, according to AOC stories. It's like $50, but it draws attention to it. And like that, we do need that. That is not the most important thing. That's not the only thing we need. And if that's all we get, that's not enough. But you do need to draw attention to it. And Ilhan Omar is attempting to do that, tweeting afterward, today I was arrested while participating in a civil disobedience action with my fellow members of Congress outside the Supreme Court. I will continue to do everything in my power to raise the alarm about the assault on our reproductive rights. And thank God that you do. These are important issues. Remember when Cori Bush, like it took her protesting to get the government to acknowledge that, oh wait, if millions of people are evicted or have their houses foreclosed on, that would be a bad thing. And like really early on raised awareness of that. That led to a little bit of help, and then eventually the government forgot. And now a bunch of people are being evicted and all that. So she was right. But Cori Bush goes on to say the Supreme Court will not stop us. Even though they arrested us, we won't stop organizing, agitating, and legislating for justice. We got us. And Representative Veronica Escobar as well saying our rights are on the line, hashtag bans off our bodies. Like, people have to be fired up about this. Now, I wish that it wasn't so much on regular people, since the people in positions of actual power aren't nearly as passionate about this as the representatives that were just arrested, JR. But, you know, we got to keep people's attention on this. It's too important to move on from.
Yeah, when it comes to stuff like this, and we always see, not always, but enough, we see protests, especially when it comes to blocking the streets, people getting arrested, but then you get some bigger names. And this is, again, not uncommon when it comes to politicians looking to bring some attention to it. And this will bring more attention. We've seen the protests across the country from the day that they overturned women's rights over their own bodies. So I think this is at least it's positive. It goes in that direction. It's just that next step has to be, so then, what are we doing next? Like, then now that we got some attention, we saw that AOC and Cori Bush and everyone got arrested. What's that next step? And we know that, I'm not saying that they're not, but that needs to be highlighted next as well. Because then the only thing, honestly, at this point is getting people on the record, as they did with this other legislation, to get folks that are against this type of stuff on the record after this happened and after seeing the numbers of people who actually are upset about it across the board and across the country, the things that they're ignoring. This is then when you start hitting them over the head with, and after we've done these protests, we're arrested, and look who's still in support of these types of limiting oppressive laws and these decisions from the Supreme Court. That's where the decision making has to turn. The whole point about this is to get more people that maybe aren't on your side or are leaning towards your side, but still like the bigotry part of everything else the Republicans do, maybe get them to understand this is probably one of the bigger issues.
Yeah, and by the way, this is perhaps timed to draw attention to this issue in advance of later on this week. The House is going to be voting to codify reproductive rights as well. Right. Again, its likelihood in the Senate is about the same as that of the bill legalizing same-sex marriage. But they're in the House. This is what they can do. So, you know, hopefully the president maybe is listening. Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, with that said, we're going to go to the second break of this hour. But we've got a lot of fun coming up on the other side. Dr. Oz has to explain why nobody seems to want to give him any money. We'll have that for you after this.
Fetterman's total haul from individuals and committees, according to campaign finance reports, about $9.9 million. And you have $1.1 million, at least that's what's being reported, closing the gap a little bit. I guess you loaned your campaign some money, but he has five times as much cash on hand as you do. Is that correct, number one? Number two, why is that, given how important this race is for Republicans to take back the U.S. Senate? Where's the NRSC?
Well, the NRSC is getting involved. The RNC have been wonderful. The state and national parties are doing their best, but the Democrats have very cleverly taken all these issues that have come up over the summer, the Dodd decision, the concerns about guns, and they've used these as excuses to raise money from the Democratic loyalists. And interestingly, when Republicans get mad, we go out and mow the lawn. Democrats, when they get mad, donate money to their parties.
Okay, so that is nonsensical in so many different ways. And we are going to be mocking Dr. Oz relentlessly. Don't worry about that. But I do love the framing from Laura Ingraham while acknowledging that he is getting absolutely, insert an old timey verb, destroyed, I'll say, in terms of fundraising versus Fetterman. It's not Dr. Oz's fault. Where's the NRSC? Yeah, it's just on them. They're supposed to invent $8 million for you to raise. I don't know, maybe he's a bad candidate. I don't know, maybe he's not really a resident of that state. That stings for some people. They tend to like local representation. I don't know, maybe you were warned before he won the primary that he was gonna be a bad candidate and he wouldn't have the best chance of winning. I don't know, pick an explanation. Maybe he just sucks. Have you considered that? And then of course there's his explanation, JR. You wanna dive into that Republicans just like they anger Mo, they don't get involved in politics? What do you think?
Oh my God. I'm not sure if he was told this to go with that approach or if he came up with it himself. Because, you know, there's always handlers when it comes to politicians. They're like, we need to come up with excuses why we suck. So let's say it's the Democrats, because that's easy. But we need to have some BS reason why we're saying it's the Democrats. So let's just say that they're participating in the process more than us. What? By the way, the problem when it comes to considering the majority of the country, does tend to vote more progressive, if you would. The reason why we still have these two-party system where Republicans still win elections is because fewer people get more power in certain elections in the country. So, but to make sure they still galvanize, that they're still surrounding and they still have this energy to then still think Democrats are running your life. Everything that goes wrong with us, it's the Democrats' faults that have us not participating in our elections as much. But they do participate. That's the thing. Republicans always participate. Old Republicans are always voting. And we have these younger, newer Democrats, progressives even sometimes, they're like, we gotta generate some youth voting. It's like we haven't heard any of this before, but he's just flipping it on his head just so he can deflect this problem that he's got. Before he won that primary, there was problems with him not really being from Pennsylvania. There was problems with him being this rich guy who lives these complexes and houses, and that he's Turkish and was once serving. All these different things have caught up with him. Those could potentially be the reasons why you have an issues there, Dr. Oz, when you're going to get someone who tends to be more authentic. And this guy very much looks fake. But I do have one more suggestion for Dr. Oz. He can go with this approach. How about we just go for taking money out of politics? We don't have to worry about fundraising, how you're getting your ass whooped in the fundraising race if it's not there. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, think about that future world, Dr. Oz. You might be able to like see Fetterman like walking towards you down a hallway and not say, I'm too poor, I can't do it. Wouldn't that be a nice future to live in? I think that would be great. And I would love that. Let's get rid of the entire advantage that a huge amount of money can bring. But right now there is a big difference. Fetterman has raised $9.9 million, Oz $1.1 million. That's not just low versus Fetterman. That is very low for a Senate race, particularly a highly important Senate race that's considered competitive. To raise that little money, that's House of Representatives stuff in these races. You're raising $1.1 million and you think you're gonna take down Fetterman? I mean, maybe, you know, the Democrats, they really suck and they haven't given people a lot of reason to vote for them, but that is just absolutely devastating. And I don't know what Oz is gonna do to get back in this, but it's gonna take more than the tweet that I'm now seeing. He sent out a tweet of Bernie Sanders and Joe Fetterman photoshopped onto the stepbrothers, and it says best friends. First of all, they were stepbrothers, not just best friends. Like, did you watch the movie? Anyway, you know who's popular on Twitter? Bernie Sanders. You're an idiot, man. How are you a doctor and you don't get any of this?
No, one of his handlers made that and said, here, post this, doctor. Post this. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. Best friends has nothing to do with the fact that they're, again, you have to at least be accurate in these types of things, because then people will pick it apart, as of course John just did immediately. There was one other point I had. You mentioned that Dr. Oz donated you didn't mention it, but it was in there, $2.2 million to his campaign. Loaned it, $2.2 million to his campaign. If I can loan $2.2 million to my campaign, I have no reason to run. What am I running for? What am I trying to get that's gonna feed me more money? Because we know that's the whole point about this whole thing, is to somehow feed himself more glory and money in some kind of backdoor way to be corrupt. But just chill out, bro. Chill out. I got $2.2 million to give to my campaign that I'm sucking at. Bro, just go home and enjoy the five houses. Just go home, get in the pool, watch some TV, eat some snacks.
He's spending so much money to embarrass himself. If I had $2.2 million, the next thing you'd hear about me is in 6 months, I'd have died from sunburn and pina colada poisoning. Like, you would not hear a word from me until that happened. And it would maybe 6 months, maybe I'd last that long. God. Anyway, can we jump to a graphic 4 just for 1 sec? I would love for this graphic to be updated. It hasn't been for a bit, but the most recent polls show Fetterman with a nice healthy lead. Do not get complacent. If you're in the area, please volunteer for Fetterman. If you can give money, please do that, because that race is arguably even more important for our side than it is for them. We desperately need this. So, and just think of how cool it would be. I mean, God, Fetterman's a bit of a wild card. I don't know what Fetterman will end up doing, but it would be exciting to have him in the Senate. So let's work towards that. For now, though, we do have to move to our last story of this first hour, starting with this.
You know, when you see stuff like that on the streets, at least in Los Angeles or maybe in California, that's protected property, like by law. You know that? Like, if you were
so
to
you're not supposed to do that.
But like, that's that person's property by law. If you were to
homeless person's property is protected?
Yes, absolutely.
Huh.
If you were to go and try to move that or take that,
you'd get arrested.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't arrest you if you shot somebody. Maybe you should just go and shoot the homeless people.
I like your ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is Tom Segura and Joe Rogan joking or whatever. But anyway, I didn't even want to talk about this because it's disgusting and I just wanted to not throw that out into the universe. But we kind of need to because what they're talking about is serious. Property crimes as well as violent crimes, including murder, are very common against the unhoused. That's a reality that might be easy to miss if you have hundreds of millions of dollars, if you've been a millionaire for literally decades, and the only way that you ever interact with that community or even the topic itself is to throw out absolute nonsense about how violent crimes like are totally fine and they don't prosecute them or whatever, or that you're shocked that you can't rob an unhoused person of their property. He was legit like befuddled by the idea that you cannot steal all of their belongings. I don't understand how you end up in that position, but it damn sure takes a thick bubble, a bubble made of millions and millions of dollars. And far more important than my views on this are the views of those who are desperately trying to help this community or members of this community and don't want them to be exploited or murdered. Theo Henderson is an advocate for unhoused people, hosts the podcast We the Unhoused, said that the comments are repulsive, said it's infuriating because it's not only out of touch, but the reality is that unhoused people are targeted by housed people. That's the fun hypothetical they were engaging in there. He says to advocate trying to shoot at unhoused people or just giving these dog whistles to people that do not see unhoused people as human beings, I can't believe you'd advocate for it. Andy Bales, the president of the Homeless Shelter Union Rescue Mission in downtown LA, says surprised and saddened by the comments. Invited Joe Rogan to come to Union Rescue Mission to see what's happening on the streets and who these people are, who he's talking about. Goes on to say, the comments about beginning to kill homeless people hits too close to reality for any comfort because murders of homeless people in LA went up 47% last year over the previous year. By the way, nearly half, 49% of men, 48% of women of those surveyed reported experiencing violence, and older people and those who've been unhoused for more than 2 years face an especially high risk of experiencing a violent attack. So I know, they're joking, they're just joking. Why are you being so mean to them? They're just joking about somebody killing them, knowing that there's a lot of anger and fear about the unhoused community, knowing that these attacks are constant. It's joking, sure, but it's a choice to joke about that. It's a choice to remain in a vicious state of ignorance about this. I would love for Joe Rogan to take up that activist on their offer and to go, you've got the money, you've got the time, you've got the platform. Why don't you bring some unhoused people onto your podcast? Have a talk with them about what it's like, rather than just talking to rich celebrities that find the presence of the unhoused to be an inconvenience for which they seem ready to accept any solution whatsoever. Why don't you bring one of those people on? You love expanding your consciousness. You're curious. You want to know new things. Stop talking to celebrities. Stop talking to the wealthy. Bring on a person who's lived on the street for a couple of years and have an actual interesting conversation about that. It might not be as fun and jokey, but it might be real, which would be a nice change of pace.
The only problem with all that you said, John, is that three of those things I wanted to say, and you've covered all bases. The one part about though is that no, it's great. That's the whole point. I'm glad you put it all together more succinctly and in a complete thought process, because you got these two rich guys. And the first problem with their whole thing, first off, the joking part about, oh, we're just joking, that's normalizing this type of rhetoric and this type of thought and these type of potential actions. Because yes, people do get murdered on the streets by other folks who think they're useless, they're not really human beings. So that already happens. So who cares though? But also, the first part about the reason that their complaints is that, you know, we can't just steal homeless people's things. That's what they're complaining about. Hey, I want to walk up and take his dresser because it's sitting next to him on the street. Why do you want to take his dresser? What the hell is wrong with you? You want to steal his stuff and you're mad that the law doesn't allow you to steal someone else's stuff?
Yeah.
You're a petty criminal is what you are. And now you want to murder people over it. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Frustrating. I mean, like, I don't expect more out of Rogan. I have liked some of Segura's comedy there, and I'm sure he would just say, I'm just joking. I mean, literally any of it. Yeah, but you said it. And what do you think about, what do you think the people watching it take away from that? What do you think they think of this community? Anyway, whatever. Thank you to everybody who joined us for the first hour of our show. There is a lot more in the aftermath after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.